Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. Our show today, Improving Digestion, a matter of life and death. We often hear that digestion and immune system health are deeply connected to each other. In fact, most integrative healthcare experts would agree that poor gut health greatly increases the risk of disease and premature death. Yet most conventionally trained physicians won't talk about how to avoid digestive problems like leaky gut, gluten sensitivity issues, and irritable bowel syndrome. Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, we plan on changing all of that with some great information rarely discussed in the mainstream media. Just a quick search in PubMed reveals thousands of studies which look into how poor digestion can trigger disease. Many experts call the gut our second brain due to its role in determining what happens to our health. With over 100 trillion bacteria, viruses, and other microorganisms in our microflora, this physical matter outnumbers our cells by 10 to 1 and play a huge role in our physical, mental, and emotional condition. So who should listen to this program? Anyone interested in protecting or improving their health. That would be my answer. If you have trouble concentrating at work or suffer with any chronic disease of any kind or just feel sluggish during the day, even after sleeping for hours and hours, then you should pay close attention to what we're about to reveal. But before we meet our special guest, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now please join me in welcoming our special guest, Dr. Nicholas DiMartino. Dr. Nick, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. I'm happy to be here.
So why should we care more about our digestive system? What would you tell your patients?
Well, I would tell them that digestion is the way that we introduce the nutrient essence of our food into our body. And so it's that nutrient essence that helps our body to nourish tissues, cells, organs, skeletal system. And without it, there would, you know, we would not be able to grow, to develop, and also to repair and rejuvenate our bodies on a daily basis.
And Dr. Nick, I know we're going to get into what actually threatens the digestive health, or our digestive system, I should say, but I promised people at the beginning that we were going to talk about things that are really different than what you hear in the mainstream media, and I want to throw this out and get your feedback on it, because I know you've got a lot to say about this kind of stuff, too, is this idea that, and I mean, most people don't even think about this, that when your digestive system is picking up chaos, right, from really horrible food, you know, the processed foods, the fast foods, you know, we often think of that as, oh, there's all these chemicals in there, or there's too much fat, or there's too much carbohydrates, or whatever it might be in the macronutrients, right? There's also this idea, this concept that when our digestive system is stressing out and feeling like at war, doesn't that also play on us mentally and emotionally as well? Isn't that fair to say?
Well, that would be fair to say. I mean, if your gut becomes very dysregulated, it's very difficult for you to produce and send serotonin up into your brain. And so, you know, there's a serotonin deficiency that can arise from, you know, from gut inflammation and gut dysregulation, which would affect your mood. But there's also the concept of how our life, you know, affects us. And, you know, it's sort of a metaphor, but as we digest our food, we digest our life. And so if our life becomes toxic, as with our food, we're affected all the way through to our, you know, our psychosocial welfare. So it's everything is connected, you know, through the gut-brain axis, as you had mentioned in the introduction.
You know, I had done a show a few weeks ago that was really very popular, and it continues to be, you know, Natural Health 365 podcast that talked about probiotics and how that improves the digestive system. It's great. But I want to make this very clear. The reason why I had you come on, Dr. Nick, and talk about digestive health is because it's way beyond just, you know, taking some probiotic pills and everything's going to be all right. Probiotics are important. I think there's a great value in them. Don't misunderstand. But the point is, we've got to do so much more. So why don't we talk for a few minutes now about what really threatens digestive health? Let's look at as much as we can in the next few minutes.
Well, I think the most primary thing that threatens digestive health is stress. Stress, you know, and the production of excess cortisol and the consequent changes in hormone balance that occur with stress all affect digestion directly. So, for instance, when you have excess cortisol in your body or you have excess epinephrine or norepinephrine, you're literally shunting blood and attention away from the digestive tract, and you're sending all that energy out into your extremities and up into your heart and your lungs. And in essence, what happens is there's not enough and digestive energy to help you to digest your meals appropriately. So stress is a major player, and I think a lot of us, have a fairly high degree of stress because in our society, you know, we are just moving too quickly. We are eating on the road. We're not chewing our food as efficiently as we should. And this is all, kind of a result of very, very overly active and stressful lifestyles.
And so what other things do you think that really threaten digestive health that, you know, perhaps people aren't thinking about on a daily basis?
Well, you know, I think they might be, but I certainly think infection and in the language of the gastrointestinal system, it's called dysbiosis. And that's directly related to the quality of food that you eat, because if the food isn't processed properly, and cooked properly, you can introduce things like Helicobacter pylori, and then there can be overgrowth of parasites and protozoa, and a lot of people, due to stress and excess cortisol in their body, develop an overgrowth of candida. And all of this, in essence, begins to build inflammation in the gut. And when inflammation begins to occur, if it occurs deeply enough into the gut tissue, you develop leaky gut, which is where the actual barrier between what's circulated in the blood and what's inside of the lumen of the intestines begins to break down. And then you have the entry of toxic molecules into the body, which causes all those changes that you talked about in the introduction, fatigue and sometimes rashes and joint pain, and even changes and alterations in mood and thought.
And I know, this is a bit shocking for some people, but it's worth the effort is that even people going out there and buying natural foods and even, I'll say, organic foods, that are being sourced from places like China, the food quality, as you just mentioned, is another big issue in terms of it being laced with heavy metals. I mean, I know in your practice, you must be seeing this all the time. If those heavy metal counts are too high in the human body, I mean, how bad is that for the digestive system?
I mean, all around, it's heavy metals, any form of toxicity that's coming in, whether it's chemical or, it has the configuration where it can be a hormone disruptor, it's just going to shut down enzyme systems, within the gut and make adequate digestion almost impossible. And so, we have to pay a lot of attention, I think, to the toxic load that we're gathering in our body, because that has a lot to do with impacting on our digestion and then our overall sense of health and well-being.
All right. I hope people are very motivated now to really pay close attention to what we're going to get into and talking about how someone can just really hone in on the fact that they do have digestive problems and they have to address it even before we get into the medical tests that you actually get involved with your patients in trying to figure things out. But before we get there, I just want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Nick, we were talking about, you know, these things that can threaten digestive health. For those who, you know, just aren't very clear about what's going on and what's a sign of digestive problems, I mean, I've got my own opinion, but I'm curious, you know, what are some of those things that hit you right away when you're meeting someone and you could just clearly see, besides, you know, the obvious things of being very overweight, this kind of stuff, what are some of those signs, those things that you can tell right away there are digestive problems going on in that person without the medical testing to be brought up?
Well, you know, the symptoms range in people. You know, a lot of people who have food sensitivity, you know, will come in with extreme fatigue and they'll come in with brain fog, right? A lot of people come in with complaints of, you know, bloating and gas, either immediately after a meal, which to me means that their gastric acid is insufficient, or they find that they bloat maybe in 2 to 3 hours after a meal, which means that their enzymes are becoming insufficient. And then there are people who have, you know, ongoing heartburn and reflux, where the actual structure of the lower esophageal sphincter is being affected, you know, by chronic indigestion, and it's becoming weak, and that sphincter is opening and allowing food contents to come up into the esophagus, which can, you know, long term be a problem. And then there are people who just show signs of decreased absorption of nutrients, especially iron and calcium, and they come in, they can be anemic, they could have osteopenia or osteoporosis, they could have weight loss. And then there are folks who have actual mechanical problems that are going on, and they present more with chronic diarrhea and constipation. So the list just goes on. And I got to tell you, before I got on with you, I went out to the to a local drugstore and just took a walk down the digestive aisle. And there's at least 35 different things. And I didn't really finish counting because it was like, I got to get out of here. But there's at least 35 different things on the market over the counter. And there are some, a little bit of repetition in some of the meds, but 35 different things to just help people get through their digestive difficulties, from, you know, from heartburn to reflux to hemorrhoids to you name it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you just read my mind. You know, I know a lot of voices out there. We get hammered with emails all the time. You know, why do you do this? Why do you focus on that? You know, and we'll get others who don't really mean anything bad by what they're saying to us, you know, in our customer service, but they'll say, you know, we already know this information. You know, I do these programs so that you can pass this on to somebody else. We're well over 100,000 downloads for the Natural Health 365 podcast. That's great. But believe you me, I'm not raving about those numbers. We have millions of people that I was just going to say, Dr. Nick, that are taking all of these over-the-counter and prescription drugs. It just seems like a very, very twisted, sick disconnect between you've got a problem in your gut, like let's say stomach acids, let's kill the stomach acids and not even look at the fact that you might be eating a hot dog or whatever else it might be that's disagreeing with you. Amazing. If you could just take away the stress, how much better you would feel instead of chemically trying to alter your body. I mean, you must shake your head at this all the time.
Yeah, well, we try to go to the core of the problem. And when, you know, when people are coming in with digestive difficulty, you know, we're faced with a whirlwind of possibility. So, you know, we basically, you know, start with, it depends upon the presentation, but we will look at their gastric acid, and we do a Heidelberg test, and that'll see if indeed it's either they have low gastric acid or high gastric acid, you know, because these things are very misdiagnosed, and we find that most people that are put on proton pump inhibitors and H2 blockers are people who really don't have high acid, but they're suffering from, you know, a gastric acid insufficiency. And, you know, food is fermenting in them rather than, you know, acid being the issue with creating their discomfort.
And again, we're not suggesting that tests by any means, medical testing is the end all here. But, you know, talking about digestive health, we can't get away from this issue. So you just mentioned, Dr. Nick, this one test that you're doing for stomach acids, if you will. What other kind of tests which might really play a really significant role in in giving your patient some good feedback, like, hey, look at what's going on here, which I would imagine does motivate some people to say, wow, I do have a problem. I see the test result. Now I got to get busy in fixing this thing. So what other kind of tests do you employ?
You know, the whole point behind the testing is that you can be very bio-individual with the way that you treat them. And so, you know, with the gastrointestinal system, there's so many different things, so many different factors that can influence maldigestion or digestive insufficiency that it's really good to do some testing. So a second type of test I do is a breath test. And that breath test helps us to look for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which, you know, which happens, you know, when there's, you know, a gastric acid deficiency. There are some bacteria that can migrate up into the small intestine and find a happy home. Those people with SIBO, it's called, will develop gas within an hour or two right after they eat. The gas will be right underneath their ribs and they'll be extremely uncomfortable. Okay, and so then it's the same thing with the Heidelberg test, which tests for gastric acid. That presentation is gas, bloating, right after a meal. All right, then we test for lactulose and mannitol, and that's the test for leaky gut. And those folks with leaky gut come in, and they have a myriad of symptoms. They could have rashes, they could have headaches, they could have fatigue, they could have joint pains, because when the gut barrier becomes permeable, that means there can be the advent of systemic toxicity, inflammation, and even autoimmunity when it gets to an extreme. So those people are a little bit sicker. I like to do a complete digestive stool analysis because this one test really shows the entire functional terrain of the gut. And, you know, it tests for how much normal flora you have. It tests for bacteria, parasites, protozoa, candida. It tests secretory IgA, which is really a great marker that shows whether or not there's food sensitivity or the beginnings of autoimmunity. It tests for, it does elastase, which gives an idea of the competency of the digestive enzymes. It tests for whether or not the person can digest fats, carbohydrates, and proteins efficiently. It tests whether or not their body has enough bacteria to break down short-chain fatty acids into anti-inflammatory molecules to protect the gut. And then it also looks at the pH. It also tests for gliadin because so much of what's going on in the gut comes out in gluten sensitivity and issues with you know, gliadin. The last thing I do then is if all the functional stuff comes back relatively normal, then I look at structure, because structure and function are all, you know, they're just opposite sides of the coin. And then, you know, if need be, we would do an endoscopy or a colonoscopy. And that basically helps us to define, you know, where we have to go with our treatment. Certainly if there's structural things that requires a different treatment than the functional thing, which we can do with prebiotics and probiotics and the herbs and all the different things that we use.
And again, not to get too lost in the physical details, I always like to bring up the mental and the emotional side of things, Dr. Nick. The reason why I said earlier on, we're going to be talking about things that are so different than what most people hear about, especially in the mainstream media, is, you know, the simple truth that day to day, when you look at someone who's walking around on a regular basis, quickly agitated, they have anger issues, or, you know, just somewhat depressed. You know, we're not talking about the kind where you don't want to go outside or do anything at all. I mean, but even those people as well. In psychiatry, those people in that industry that are listening to this program, I mean, man, have we got a long way to go in terms of connecting the idea that if those people are presenting those kind of personality traits, in my mind, not that I'm a doctor, but I want to get your feedback on this, Dr. Nick. You've been in medicine for a lot of years. In my mind, I'm thinking that person has got something seriously going on that's wrong inside their body, and it's in their digestive tract that really needs to be healed. And if they did that, what a difference they would feel mentally and emotionally. They would be so much happier. What's your take on what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree with you very much. And like when I see people who have anger, right, I see inflammation in the gut because anger is a form of heat. When I see people who have anxiety, I see nervousness in the stomach. And that comes up with increased motility. right? So you may have somebody who has, you know, increased neural input, which would give them cramping and would give them many bowel movements throughout the day, perhaps even diarrhea. When there are people who are very frustrated in their lives, they feel trapped and they're in a pattern of holding, these folks come in with constipation. And then you see people who vacillate between, you know, different types of emotional profiles who can go back and forth, which for a long time medicine was thinking was, you know, the foundation for irritable bowel syndrome with the vacillations of constipation and diarrhea. But it all comes down to things like, you know, the sympathetic nervous system and excess sympathetic tone and how that affects, you know, the nervous system of the gut. And, you know, when that happens, there's just so much excitation, there's nervous digestion, there's gas, there's bloating. There's really the inability of the gut, as if it was a form of consciousness, to really be able to digest through what's happening.
I want to thank our sponsor one last time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in a delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Dr. Nick, that was beautiful. And that's exactly my point. So for those psychiatrists out there, those psychologists out there, what a great opportunity. And I say it like a business opportunity and also on a personal level for all the physicians out there to start practicing this form of medicine. The future of medicine, if you will, is right now. Dr. Nick, I know you do this all the time, to listen to people more and to connect them with their feelings and their activities day to day instead of just medicating people. But having said that, I know there's also that side of the coin, Dr. Nick, where we talk about, hey, there's got to be some herbs or some supplements that some people really would feel better if they were taking them to help heal the gut. Are there any? And if there are, which ones do you like?
Well, you know, it depends upon the problem, you know. The people in functional medicine have a really beautiful approach. They call it the 5R approach. And, you know, the first aspect, I'll be very quick, but you know, to the point. The first aspect is to remove whatever type of imbalance is in the gut. So, for instance, if it's food sensitivity, you know, you would do an elimination rotation diet and try to define, you know, what people are sensitive to. If it turns out to be that it's infection, you would test and find out what infection is in the gut, and then you would introduce the appropriate herbs to remove infection. And a lot of times, good prebiotics and probiotics is enough to introduce in to begin to rebalance the normal flora of the gut. The second thing they emphasize is to replace, meaning replace things that are insufficient, such as digestive enzymes, hydrochloric acid, bile acids, because all these things are very important in the daily functioning of digestion. And then they talk about re-inoculating, meaning, you know, if the normal flora isn't competent to give probiotics that would replace bifido and lactobacillus and Saccharomyces boulardii, all of these probiotics and prebiotics have a very immune-regulating effect, and they have a very dramatic impact on the day-to-day health of people, especially during the times when the flu season's around, because 70% of the immune system is docked right in the gut, and it's based in the adequacy of the normal flora. The fourth thing is repair, and what they seek to do is to re-heal the gut, and they use things like glutamine. They use things like deglycerinized licorice, marshmallow root, slippery elm. These are all anti-inflammatory healing herbs that can be used to repair, you know, a gut that has inflammation. And then the fifth element of that is what they call rebalance. And that's a process, that's a restorative process. And that's what we've been talking about, which is relaxation technique, mindful eating, you know, biofeedback, heart rate variability work, all that stuff to introduce more parasympathetic tone and to relax the gut and the neural activity in the gut so that we can digest efficiently.
Yeah, Dr. Nick, that is so great. That's the way I'd like to finish the program for just a minute or so. We talk a little bit more now, shifting away from the obvious things. You know, don't overeat, don't eat toxic food. I will say something else really quick, which is way beyond the scope of this program, but our digestive system really does start at the lips and the mouth and our oral health issues. And I'll tell you right now, if you're walking around with mercury-laced fillings, we're talking about some of the most toxic stuff on the planet, stuck in your teeth, you've got oral infections. That is a real serious issue. It pollutes the entire body. It affects you physically, mentally, and emotionally. I would strongly suggest you look into cleaning that up. But to move beyond that, Dr. Nick, for right now, some of these lifestyle things that you would suggest, which, just like you just said, shift us, you know, from this state of anxiety and hyperness over just about everything to all of a sudden a more grounded and calm state, which will obviously help us digest our food better. What are some of the lifestyle things you like to bring into, you know, your patients' lives?
Well, you know, I try to encourage people to eat as a family. Because, you know, when you all eat together, you know, and somebody's cooking, you know, either mom or dad is cooking, you know, their love, their concern goes into the food. And then the energy of that food is the energy that's going to be present in everybody. And on a very visceral level, when you eat together and you introduce the same energy, you know, your bodies begin to align themselves biorhythmically. And then the other things I always tell my patients is to not eat when they're upset or when they're emotional or when they're hurrying, to just take some pause, you know, slow down and allow their body to just relax so that the blood flow returns to the gut and so they can digest properly. I tell them to just, you know, chew their food. They may not be the life of the party because they're the person that's in the corner chewing their food, but I, you know, that's a really big thing. I mean, the act of chewing you know, stimulates ptyalin, and there are some hormones that really send messages to all of the organs to produce, you know, the digestive enzymes. So chewing is very fundamental, is a big thing. And then what you just said, oral health is huge. I mean, if your teeth aren't right, you know, and you can't chew properly, you have to get that done. And if you have infection, I see so much autoimmunity as a result of oral infection that I encourage people very much to take care and clean up their mouth. And then the rest of it is just on slowing down their life, you know, and taking time so that they can be a little bit more relaxed and less stressed, to allow the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis to calm itself down, because that has a direct impact on digestive capacity.
Dr. Nick, outstanding information. I really mean it. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
I appreciate it, Jonathan. Thanks.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.